The headline makes the blood run cold. How QAnon uses religion to lure unsuspecting Christians. In an age when faith has so often been subverted to empower lies, this confluence of a powerful network of extremist conspiracy theories and Trump-worshipping Christians is truly terrifying. The author of the story is the respected religion editor at CNN, Daniel Burke, and I am grateful that he has agreed to join us today on State of Belief Radio. Daniel, welcome.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Would you start by just briefly summarizing the key lies QAnon relentlessly promotes?
Sure. So their main conspiracy, they have a lot of conspiracies, but the one that's most pertinent right now is the belief that there is a secret cabal of child pedophile abusers, which is in Hollywood and the political elite. And Donald Trump is the only one who could stand up to this cabal and rid it of its evil influence over the government, over churches. They foresee a tentacled movement there with this cabal that they talk about.
Mm. Obviously, the biggest impact an outfit like this can have is not in exposing a single D.C. pizza restaurant, but in fundamentally undermining public confidence in leaders, institutions, and especially the media. How widespread has that corrosive effect been?
Well, I think you're right. I think it builds on those corrosive. We had already seen trust in media go down, trust in politics go down. I think these conspiracy theories sort of take advantage of that. And they, you know, they say the mainstream media is lying to you. You have to believe us. We're the only ones who can believe you. And to me, well, the thing that was most perplexing was, okay, they wouldn't listen to CNN or New York Times or anything like that, but they somehow thought that this obscure image board on the deep web had the truth that, you know, thousands of journalists around the world don't have, but this one little, you know, message board buried in the deep web has the answers. That was so strange to me that I really had to take a deeper look at the movement to understand why this was happening and why it was coming for Christians.
How do you explain that?
I think one thing is they are specifically going after Christians. They talk about red pilling, which is sending them a video showing concern for children, which of course everyone has. A lot of evangelicals in particular have worked on human trafficking issues. So they will show that, and that's a very, you know, who's not for protecting children? And then they will just subtly introduce more and more and more insane beliefs, honestly. They are pretty out there. Mm-hmm. And pastors are now using the QAnon hashtags, so you see people spreading it without even knowing that they're spreading it. They don't know that it's coming from QAnon. And I talked to many pastors for whom that was the case. They would see the Facebook page of the people in the congregation, and they were just despondent at what they were seeing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of what the actual agenda of this conspiracy theory is? And I guess as a part of that question, is there a structure responsible for this, or is it more of a thought virus at this point?
I would compare it more to the virus, yeah. There are people responsible who post as Q. He's named Q because he apparently, or we don't know it's a he, but the person who posts as Q claims to have Q-level access to military and government plans. So, yeah, it's hard to know exactly how seriously people take all of these ideas because they are really out there, but it seems like they're taking them pretty seriously. And it's spreading and spreading and spreading. It's still on sort of the fringes of evangelicalism, but they have a pretty big fringe, as one evangelical told me.
You list some influential Christian pastors whom you describe as preaching QAnon-aligned ideas. To me, this is beyond serious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in July, there was a church in Granville, Michigan that played a video in lieu of the sermon that was 19 minutes of saying that COVID-19 was the biggest hoax and disinformation campaign in American history. And you're seeing that church, if people are seeing that in church, it has a certain level of credibility, of truth for a pastor to say, I think this is the truth. Danny Silk is another one who leads a very, very influential church in Redding, California, who constantly posts QAnon material, whether it's, you know, anti-media, anti-child trafficking. And so people pick up on that because he has so many followers, particularly among young Christians. There's actually one church in Indiana that is combining QAnon and Christianity. They read texts from both at church services, and then the pastor and his partner sort of try to interpret those texts and say, okay, this is what the Bible says, this is what Q says, how do we bring them together? I don't know how you do that, because Q is not very religious, and it's sort of nasty. You know, if you look at where the image board, there are anti-Semitic images, there are anti-race images. It's just sort of a nasty place that feeds this holier-than-thou belief on the part of some evangelicals that they're doing the right thing. It is a very confusing, upside-down, you know, the sky isn't blue kind of movement. It's just, it is really, really perplexing about why it has popularity.
I don't see how these people embrace something that is questionable and believe that which goes against what they would ordinarily embrace.
Yeah, ideals like fairness, treating people well. I mean, one of the things that QAnon teaches is that, you know, Tom Hanks is part of this supposed Hollywood ring of pedophiles, which is absurd. And it's so, so scandalous to drag someone's name through the mud like that. It's evil. They do the same thing with Hillary Clinton, which builds on the deep distrust of the Clintons that has been in the evangelical movement since the 1990s. So they just bring all of these conspiracies together. Pizzagate, which you mentioned earlier, anti-Clinton stuff. It's just amazing how there's a meanness to this movement. If you go online and you see how they respond to things, there's a very unchristian vibe coming out of QAnon.
You describe people of faith buying into and fighting over these messages. Talk about that, please, about the damage that we're already seeing to communities and families.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Pastors have told me that it is really destroying families. It's destroying churches. I mean, imagine being the pastor of a church where half of your congregation is QAnon and half may be, you know, mainstream conservatives or liberals. How do you deal with that? It's like taking the political divisions that are in our country right now and just putting them on steroids. It's the pastors that I spoke to, they were sort of just trying to do the right thing. They are overworked, they're overburdened, and they didn't know how to handle QAnon. And in fact, I don't think anyone knows how to handle QAnon. I haven't seen evangelical pastors or any sort of good resources for dealing with this. And it is coming more and more and more and more people coming to their side of things. I think part of what the interest in QAnon is with regard to these messages is, one, if you look at evangelicals, the importance they place on the written word, on Scripture, and on their interpretation of that word. The same thing is happening, or a similar thing is happening with QAnon, where he posts these cryptic little messages, and then, you know, the people I talk to in QAnon described as like a fun exercise to try to go and figure out exactly what QAnon means. And so you have people like the Praying Medic, who's got a huge online following. He was a spiritual teacher before he got involved in QAnon, if you can believe it. They will decipher this for the masses and sort of send it out to them. a lot of the gatekeepers happen to be evangelical. So those are evangelical leaders deciphering QAnon postings for other evangelicals. And that's what I think is the scariest thing, when evangelicals are not just passively consuming QAnon, but actually contributing to its message.
Do you think pastors are, for the most part, unknowingly participating in the process of strengthening this movement, sort of like the president retweeting QAnon-related tweets and claiming to know nothing of the group and its agenda?
It is hard to put a number on it. What we have seen is that no one sort of turns back, right? So that's the problem. Once you get on the QAnon train, it's very hard to get off it because your beliefs become so ensconced within their belief system. And if you have family opposition, that becomes like a badge of honor that you're believing what you believe despite the difficulties around it. It's an amazing phenomenon to look at. They have these Save the Children marches. There were two in Los Angeles recently, for example, that, you know, if you read Save the Children March, you see a post on Facebook, you say, I'm going to go. That's great. I want to lend a hand. But actual groups that work in human trafficking say QAnon produces so much misinformation, it's actually hurting what they do. So it's actually hurting children and the people who try to help them by this flood of misinformation coming from QAnon. They've actually asked them in press releases to stop, just to stop with this issue because it's so dangerous.
Is this really about religion, or is it about politics, or a blend of those, or what is it about?
I think it is a blend of both. It takes the Christian's right blending of Christian nationalism, that this is a Christian country in the United States, and we want Christian politicians, and it sort of turns that up to 11. Some people think it is a religion because it has its beliefs, it has a prophet in Q, there's an interactive part for people. I don't really see that. There's not really a transcendent thing. There's not really a transcendent element of QAnon, but they do talk about what they call the Great Awakening, which of course is a religious term from, you know, the 1800s or late 1700s. But that sounds religious, right? And that's part of the attraction to religious people who like that he uses that kind of religious language.
Conservatives overall have been taught to feel so relentlessly under assault from the so-called secular left that they're likely to be more comfortable with a Democrat indicting Trump venerating model of reality than with having to face up to having been misled.
Having to face up to actual reality. And yes, there's an element of that where, you know, so much comes at us in terms of information, Welton, that it's hard for even you and I to sort of make sense of everything. What this does for QAnon people is it gives them a grand narrative that all of this somehow makes sense in a way, and that it will be turned for good. And I think that's really powerful for a lot of people who look at the news and they say, oh my gosh, what's going on? It's much easier to believe that there's a secret cabal that is causing all this havoc than to believe or to go into the deeper theological weeds of why is God allowing this to happen? What does God want me to do in this moment? You don't see that in QAnon people. It's just been described as a political cult, and I think that's right on. I think it's more political than religious. As a solution, I think we have to teach reading comprehension and noticing when things look false, knowing how to fact check information on your own, knowing which sources to trust, knowing how to ask good questions, and sort of standing up for the truth. I think a lot of this problem is, I mean, in my years at CNN, I've seen a lot of evangelical and Pentecostal pastors berating the media. And the media is not perfect, but we try to get things right. And we don't try to lure people into these secret, you know, QAnon type things. That is deeply damaging to our democracy and to trust in institutions to attack journalists like that. I get it. Not everyone likes CNN, but we're trying to tell the story completely. And it's hard when they won't talk to you or they disparage you. But that's the key point. It's an epistemological problem. How do we know what we know, and how do we convince people that it is a reality? We don't have a shared reality right now, and QAnon takes advantage of that.
Well, Daniel, you're closely following this. What's next? Is there the possibility of something happening, and I don't know what the something is, that opens their eyes to what they've been doing?
Oh, I hope so. But, you know, the FBI is warning. They've put out warnings recently that calling QAnon a domestic terror threat. I want to be hopeful, Welton, but I don't see it. It's just too slippery of a movement. You can't shut it down. It just finds another web hoster. And people are getting hurt by it, physically hurt by it. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon, unfortunately, no matter what pastors do. It's got its own momentum now. Hopefully people will be disillusioned because they'll see that so many of Q's quote-unquote prophecies have not come true. Hillary Clinton has not been arrested. There was not a red wave of Congress people elected in 2018. He's been patently, or whoever Q is, has been patently wrong about a bunch of stuff. Hopefully people will say, okay, that's the last one. He's been wrong about too much. I'm going to walk away from it. Maybe that will happen. That's a long process, though.
What is the direct impact of this on the election? Is it just favoritism toward President Trump, or what else is it?
I think it is favoritism towards Trump, but it also is these are extremely committed people to voting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's largely white, it's largely retirees and elderly people. You know, if Q posts something like "Make sure you get out and vote," that will have an effect, mm-hmm. And so you might see more people who would ordinarily maybe sit out a presidential election get involved for the first time. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people in QAnon are not really versed in politics. The people I talked to said they didn't really follow politics until now, and that sort of naivete shows through. But I do think it will increase their desire to go to the polls, if only to keep fighting this cabal that supposedly Donald Trump is also fighting.
One last question, but a very important one. What should every one of our listeners keep their eyes on in terms of QAnon influence in their own communities?
That's a great question. I think, first of all, if you see a family member or a close friend or a colleague reposting QAnon things, call them and let them know that that's a QAnon thing, and then direct them towards maybe an article, a fact check on QAnon. You can sort of stop it in its tracks, a lot of people have told me. Once they go down the rabbit hole, it's very, very hard. But you can stop it in its tracks early on if you let people know, hey, you may not know, but this comes from this cultist conspiracy group named QAnon. And there have been a few cases where people have been actually convinced to walk away from QAnon in the early stages. So I would just recommend people to be really cognizant of what you're seeing from your friends and family on Facebook and Twitter. And if someone posts something that looks like a QAnon post, then confront them. Let them know what your thoughts are.
Daniel Burke is the award-winning religion editor at CNN, a former writer for Religion News Service. He's the author of a chilling report headlined, "How QAnon Uses Religion to Lure Unsuspecting Christians," and we'll link to it from stateofbelief.com. Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Welton, and for shining a light on this particular issue. I couldn't agree more with you about its importance, so it was really my pleasure to be here.